Good evening and welcome to the special work session of the Fairbanks City Council. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mr. Cleaworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Ringstead?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor O'Neill?
Here. Thank you. Margarita?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. This is our annual audit report for 2025. First of all, I would like to thank our finance committee members. They may be online and some in the room. I want to thank Ms. Krukenberg over on this end next to Mr. Sanders. Mr. Sanders is also on the finance committee. We have Mr. Church. He's not in the room. I'm not sure if he's online. We have Ms. Tidwell on the finance committee, Ms. Sprinkle, and Mr. Cleaworth. Beside me here is our auditor, Ms. Cynthia Morgan from Alliance CPAs. She'll start off discussing the two documents you have before you, communications, one regarding the governance, and the other document regarding internal controls. After that, I will take you through some of the highlights and trends from the audit. Ms. Morgan.
Thank you, Margarita. My name is Cynthia Morgan, and I'm here on behalf of Alliance CPAs to report on the City of Fairbanks audit for the year ended December 31st, 2025. Before I get into the letters, I will briefly explain our audit process and procedures and then go over the reports and the letters. An audit is an annual requirement and a financial accountability report to the public and other funding providers. Our audit procedures for fiscal year 2025 begin in November with audit test work, focusing on testing samples of transactions in payroll, accounts payable, cash receipts, and other areas, as well as updating our understanding of the accounting processes in these areas. Our responsibilities in performing the audit include forming and expressing an opinion about whether the financial statements are prepared in material respects in accordance with U.S. Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or U.S. GAAP. We're also responsible for communicating significant matters in our professional opinion that are related to the financial statement audit. The accuracy and integrity of the financial statements are the responsibility of management with the oversight of those charged with governance. An audit is designed to obtain reasonable rather than absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free of material misstatement. This is because we're not examining every accounting transaction that was recorded during the year. We perform different testing procedures on selected items to develop our audit opinions. An audit includes consideration of internal control over financial statement reporting as a basis for designing audit procedures that are appropriate in the circumstances, but not to the extent that we will express an opinion on the effectiveness of the city's internal control over financial reporting. A significant part of our audit process involves gaining an understanding and documentation of the city's internal controls in place to ensure the accuracy of the accounting processes. Understanding the internal controls implemented by the city helps us identify potential strengths and weaknesses in order to determine what audit procedures should be performed and how best to go about performing those procedures. Some examples of the type of audit procedures we performed include random and haphazardly sampling methods to support transactions made throughout the year, inquiry of various city personnel, analytical procedures, direct observation of processes, where we will sit down with key control personnel and see how a process flows from start to finish and compare that to the internal control process manuals. We send out third-party confirmations for cash and investment bank balances, grant receipts for the year, and other legal responses. And we also use data analytics over the information received from the city, including payment details, payroll check registers, and cash receipt details. From this information, we analyze the data to spot anomalies and focus our and where we can focus our testing. We also pay special attention to large payments, payments by vendor or to employees, duplicate and voided checks, and any payment gaps. We completed our audit procedures in May and issued our independent audit report on May 15, 2026. The report itself can be found on page A3 of the city's annual comprehensive financial report. This report identifies specifically what was audited, management's responsibility for the accuracy of the statements, and our responsibility as auditors. For fiscal year 2025, based on audit procedures performed, we issued a clean or unmodified opinion on the financial statements, as we believe they're fairly presented in accordance with GAAP and materially correct. The audit report further states that the responsibilities of management, as they are responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of these financial statements in accordance with GAAP, and the design, implementation, and maintenance of internal controls. Management is also required to evaluate whether there are conditions or events that might raise doubt about the city's ability to continue as a going concern a year after the report date. Our audit responsibilities are to obtain reasonable, not absolute, assurance about whether the financial statements as a whole are free from material misstatement, whether due to fraud or error, and issue a report that includes our opinion. In performing the audit in accordance with GAAP and government auditing standards, we exercise professional judgment, maintain professional skepticism, identify and assess the risk of material misstatement of the financial statements, whether due to fraud or error, and design and perform audit procedures responsive to those risks. We obtain understanding of internal controls relevant to the audit, evaluate the appropriateness of accounting policies used, and the reasonableness of significant accounting estimates made by management. We also evaluate the overall presentation of the financial statements. We conclude in our judgment that if there are any conditions or events considered in the aggregate that might raise substantial doubt about the city's ability to continue as a going concern for a reasonable period of time, we are required to communicate those. We are required to communicate with those charged with governance regarding, among other matters, the plan, scope, and timing of the audit, significant audit findings, and certain internal control-related matters that we identified during the audit, and have done so in these letters that have been provided. I will also mention that we applied certain limited procedures to the required supplementary information consisting of inquiries with management comparing the information for consistency to the basic financial statements. There's also a single audit section in the financial statements. The city receives both federal and state grant awards. For fiscal year 2025, the city's federal expenditures exceeded $1 million. And therefore, a federal single audit was required and completed. In 2025, the city did not expend more than $750,000 of state grant expenditures, and therefore, no single state single audit was required. In accordance with the government auditing standards and OMB compliance supplement, we've issued our reports and our considerations of the city's internal control and compliance with legal requirements, with special emphasis on internal controls and legal requirements involving the administration of federal awards. These are found at the end of the report in the single audit section, and we did not identify any findings or question costs for the federal single audit. As part of the audit process, we also have communicated the following information in the auditor's communication with those with governments, which is in a separate letter. This includes significant accounting practices, including accounting policies, estimates, and financial statement disclosures, and internal control processes observed. Significant difficulties, or lack thereof, arising from the audit. We did not encounter any significant difficulties during our audit this year. It talks about uncorrected misstatements and material corrected misstatements as a result of our auditing procedures. Management has corrected all such misstatements, and None of the misstatements detected as a result of our audit procedures were material, either individually or in the aggregate, to each opinion unit's financial statements taken as a whole. There were no disagreements with management, and there were no other findings or issues arising from the audit that are significant and relevant. And the last letter is a communication of internal control-related matters. This letter indicates we reviewed internal controls over financial reporting to design our audit procedures. It defines deficiencies and material weaknesses in internal controls which could cause management or employees to be unable to prevent misstatements in financial reporting on a timely basis. We did not identify any material weaknesses as a result of our audit procedures. We did have some recommendations for potential areas of improvement around public works inventory, where some locations were not all subject to a recent physical inventory count. And we also identified a duplicate payment which was made to a vendor after year end. We also followed up on the remediated status of recommendations that were made as a result of audit procedures performed in previous years. I would like to note that the city adopted two new accounting principles during the year that mainly related to disclosures and how the city reported budgeted and enterprise funded information. We did not find any deficiencies related to these new standards being implemented at the city. That's all I have planned. Do you have any questions?
You're happy, we're happy.
Well, thank you for your time and your attention this evening.
So just reading that, it looked like the only problem was a duplicate payment to a vendor, and that's been resolved, and everything else is in great shape?
Yes.
That's because we have Miss Bell in charge. And you have no recommendations?
Oh, I do have recommendations that are included in the letters. Yeah. So.
If you just tell us which letter you're.
Yeah. This is the last letter, the communication of internal control related matters. One item we identified was that not all inventory locations were subject to a recent physical inventory count throughout the year. And we recommend that management consider developing a plan for performing cycle counts so that all locations of inventory are counted over an established period of time, for example, annual or biannual, and request that the auditor attend. Inventory counts should be recycled to the inventory records with identified differences investigated, documented, and resolved timely.
Do you have a recommendation for a program that might help Public Works with that?
A program?
Yeah. A computer program or?
I can look into it and get back to you.
I know that he had asked in the past for something like that. Thank you.
Mr. Clearworth?
Oh, in my former life, I was a parts and service manager at a couple of dealerships in town. And I went through several training sessions through whatever manufacturer, be it Mercedes-Benz or Toyota or Honda, BMW. But I started a program where it was a perpetual inventory. Have you heard of that? You know, where you have everything bin located, and I'd give my guys 10 or 20 part numbers per day. And he would count it, and we just kind of would go through the inventory, sometimes three times. Mm-hmm. So would that be sufficient for Mr. Cotter? Would that be okay? I mean, I had to, you know, sell the financial person over this program, but she eventually just, we didn't close down for inventory. We just kept the business open.
Yeah, Marguerite and I have been discussing, there's a couple of things that you could do. You could shut down and do a full inventory account, preferably at the end of the year. And there's also what you were talking about, cycle counts, where you just you count all of the locations, all of the inventory over a period of time.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is the way that I think they're headed.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I had one more recommendation this year related to the accounts payable duplicate payment. We recommend that management enhance controls to identify and prevent duplicate payments, such as review of vendor activity for recent payments prior to processing, system-based duplicate payment flags where available, and periodic review of vendor statements or open items to reduce the likelihood of unintended duplicate disbursements. You're welcome.
Mr. Cleaworth?
I'm looking at page 5 under the basic financial statements, which is the balance sheet for the city. And under liabilities there, I'll wait for you to get to it. This might be more for Marguerite, I don't know. But under liabilities, we have long-term liabilities split out for short-term, long-term. Is there a breakdown on any of the other documentation showing? I mean, I imagine part of that is for the police, for that deferred retirement plan, and the other part would be PERS liability. And
in the notes? You can find a breakdown on page 50 of the notes. Mm-hmm. The notes, and it's broken down by governmental activities and business type activities.
Forgive me, but I'm not finding under
page 50 in the
same section.
In the notes section, it will be behind your basic financial statements, which has a typo. Jerry,
oh,
okay.
Okay, so down there it says net pension liability.
Yes.
$14,671,000.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that include both of the pension plans, the supplemental for police plus PERS?
That would include only PERS.
Just only PERS?
Only PERS.
Where would I find the police one?
You mean the $10,000 that we pay per year?
Yeah.
There isn't a liability associated with that.
Okay, I'm following you. Uh-huh. You don't know they're going to receive it or not.
Right, correct.
Okay, is that up or down from last year, that $14 million?
That's down from last year, and I have a slide for you on that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Margarita.
Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you very much.
I'm just going to dim the lights a little bit.
Okay.
In the air. Okay. I wanted to provide slides that highlights the audit and present trends from our audited statement, and I wanted to begin, and we'll see how I do with this. I hope it's
I can do it for you.
Okay.
Might just be the
angle. Okay. Thank you.
Maybe.
Okay, the first item I wanted to start with is I wanted to thank the finance staff and our administration assistants in the various departments. This is a list of all the transactions that have occurred in 2025. And you'll see some as high as over 60,000 entries that they're reviewing. So kudos to them for the work that they do before it gets to the finance department, the admin assistants, and kudos to the finance staff for all the work that they do to ensure that we process as best as we can. The annual comprehensive financial report includes various sections. You'll see your introductory section. There you'll find the letter transmittal, the GFOA certificate of achievement, and we received that for our 2024 audit, and we expect to receive it for the 2025 organizational chart and our list of principal officials. Under the financial section, you'll find the independent auditor's report, and as Ms. Morgan stated, we had a clean audit, and that's what we strive to do. And I know I drive probably the department heads crazy with my, no, you have to do it this way, we have to do it that way, but it's because it's important for us to have an audit with a clean opinion, because this document goes to the state of Alaska for our community assistance program funds, for our supplemental emergency management transportation program, and it also goes to the state for our Department of Transportation, and it goes back to the federal government to review, to ensure that we are spending the funds in accordance and that we have a very good internal control system. So it's a very important document. Our management and discussion and analysis, I sent through our city clerk, Ms. Snyder, a copy of that document. You should have that at your fingertips, and if not, it is in your audit book. The section under financial, we had the basic financial statements and the required supplemental information. Under the supplementary section, we kind of break out the general fund, give you more detailed information by departments. Under the capital fund, we provide the budget and audit and actual. One thing I do want to mention, when you look at budgeted statements in the audit document, it does include encumbrances, the change in encumbrances. And encumbrances are those items that we have obligated the city through a purchase order. I'll put it that way. And then we have the cash and investment additional information. Cash meaning where we were cash-wise, where our cash is located, as well as we have information about the permanent fund. And then we have the statistical section, which gives you, in most cases, 10 years of data. And throughout this presentation, I'm looking at 5 years of data. I started with 2021 after COVID, just to give you a feel for what's going on with some of the information. And then the last part of the audit is the single audit. And as Ms. Morgan mentioned, this year we did not have to do a state single audit. We only had to do a federal audit. And they did change the threshold, and it's $1 million. And we'll talk about what's going on in the grants and contracts fund. The letter of transmittal is under the introductory section. And the next information you'll find under that letter of transmittal is economy. And I always just try to summarize things in this section about population, what's going on with our population. We'll see a steady decline. And we'll see under unemployment rates pretty much stayed the same from 24-25. But capita personal income and new construction values increased, as well as assessed taxable value. But you'll notice that our new construction increased very high, higher than our assessed taxable value overall. And the next picture you see here is just showing you the decline in our population. We're seeing a steady decline. And primarily that's due to our transient. You know, we have a large military population, and depending on when they're taking that data, that shows our population is indeed aging. And we do have quite younger folks that are moving out. The next one is under the letter of transmittal is employment. And I wanted to highlight our three highest employment. I kind of merged our state, federal, and local governments. You'll see that healthcare is high and it continues to grow, and we can probably attribute that to our aging population. We're also seeing a shift in our hospitality industry. From after COVID, we can see in 21 it was low. It jumped in 2022. Then it kind of steadied out, and then in 25 it dropped just slightly again. And you also see that with the government, our government changes. There have been changes in our federal government as well as locally here with our public schools locally and our federal government overall. This moves us on into our government-wide statements, and these are on pages 5 and 7. Just to kind of summarize what's going on, you'll see our net investment in capital assets, we increased by 2.6 from 24 to 25. Our restricted funds, that is mainly your permanent fund, increased by 16.3 million. There were some offsets under there. When we talk about the permanent fund a little bit later, you'll see that the earnings for the permanent fund is very is higher than what you're seeing the increase there. And then in our unrestricted, you'll see that we did increase in almost a million. Now, keep in mind, when we're looking at the statement of net position and we're looking at it government-wide, this is putting the city as though it is a business, so like it is a for-profit. Notice we're talking about capital assets. We're going to be looking at depreciation, and this is normally what we would see in our government-wide statement. And then at the bottom, I'm just showing you trends on what's happening with our capital assets, that, and as well as what's happening with our restricted and unrestricted. And you'll see things are pretty steady, you know, just a slight dip in the restricted funds, which is the very top line there. Yellow, I know for Mr. Ringstead that doesn't help him, but the top line, there's a slight dip, and that was the year that the permanent fund took a drop. Our next area is going to be the statement of activities, and we're looking at it from a governmental standpoint, and we'll see that revenues increased government-wide by $6.1 million. Our expenses increased as well by decreased by $12.9 million, and our transfers decreased as well. And just to talk about a little bit about the expenses, since this is a government-wide and it's like a for-profit statement, last year when we were notified of what would happen with the lawsuit, we had to record that entry. And so that's why you're seeing a big difference in the expenses. So we had to expense it. It's like a business and put in that liability. And so that's why we're seeing this drastic change in a significant, I should say, change in expenses there. Notice I'm using the term expenses and not expenditures. And our next slide, we're going to start talking about in the statement of net position, the business type. Notice everything is down. And predominantly what's happening in the, under our business type, this is your MUS, and this is the Labor Transportation Center. And basically what you're seeing is just a depreciation of assets. And that's why this, and you'll see this steady decline. We will take a look at Labor Transportation Center in the next slide, and after we look at the revenue and expenses, there will be another slide that will come up, but basically, we're seeing the same things. We're seeing a slight change in revenues. Our expenses, of course, will have that depreciation in there, and then we're showing that slight change in transfers that happened. And if you recall, that $270,000 that you see in change is the transfer that we made from the general fund to the Labor Transportation Center for some projects. And then the next picture is going to show you what's happening in the Labor Transportation Center. So as you can see, it's pretty much even. If we're looking at the depreciation, we're looking at the expenditures and programs. In the beginning, we had our expenses were high, but then they have leveled out, and that's a change in management who's managing the center now. The you'll see that line in the center there for depreciation. But if we were taking out that yellow line and just looking at that red line with revenues and expenditures, we'll see it's very close. So it's kind of looking at that those two are almost really meeting. But if I put in the depreciation, of course, that line will shift up even more. But this is just looking at all three on the same category. Now, the LEAD fund, we talk about that fund. That fund is listed under your government-wide financial statements, and it's next to when you look at the MUS fund and you look at the parking garage. The next item that you see is the LEAD fund, and you will see that that fund is steady and is increasing. And in 2023, you see this increase in expenditures. There was a new accounting standard that came into place during 2023 when we prepared the statements. And what that standard did was it added in the additional expenses for liability. Not only are we recording the liability, take for example, if we pay an employee $100 for their leave, we have to also include with the new standard the benefits associated with that leave. So if we're going to pay pension on that payout, or not a cash out, but even if they use it during the next year and they get pension, they get health care, they get whatever other benefit it is, we had to accrue that expense, and that's why you see that shift. But you will note that it is still steady increasing each year. And that as I mentioned on several of our fiscal notes, as wages increases and the liability will increase. So now we'll get into more of our governmental fund statements. And these are on pages 9 and 13. And what we'll do is we'll look at it first from all of the funds. If we were looking at all funds in a governmental fund, that would be your permanent fund, your general fund, risk fund, all of those items that you see on page 9, grants and contracts, capital, risk. Those are all the funds together, and we'll look at each one individually, because it'll explain why there was a change in several of these different areas. Non-spendable, just to kind of mention to you, are prepaids. You know, these are prepaid items. Restricted is our general. We have two different types of restricted funds. Our permanent fund is restricted by the citizens, and the asset forfeiture is in here as well, which is restricted by government rules for that program. Committed is when the city, the council states that we're going to set aside some money for a specific purpose. Assigned is mostly your encumbrances and our capital fund, because you kind of assign that. And then unrestricted are the funds that we have available for spending. So overall, we increased by 3.959 from 2024 in our fund balance. And the next one is looking at our revenues, expenditures, our transfers ins and out, and sales of assets. And we see here that we have a decrease of 6.874. And the biggest decrease was in our expenditures. You'll see that was a 14.6, and really it's an increase in our expenditures. And you'll see there was just a slight change in our transfers out, and just some increases in our transfers in. Looking at each fund, the first fund that we're going to look at is our permanent fund, and you'll see it ended the year on the highest it's been. And I believe it's the highest overall at $165,000,688. And you'll see the dip that we had in 2022 when it dropped to, I believe, $130 million. Hopefully my eyes are seeing it correctly. If not, then... And you'll note that the biggest increase that we're seeing overall was from this fund. There was a $20.20 million in earnings under this particular fund. And I know I had a couple of questions about the fund at the last work session. In 2025, permanent fund transferred $6.5 million. Both the, and that includes the amount to the general fund and to the capital fund. It had dividends of $4 million and it had interest of $1 million in 2025. Okay, if we move on to the grants and contracts fund, you'll see this year the highest, and that $9 million reflects over since the last 5 years. We've had years that were slightly higher than that, but for this year, in 2025, it was higher with $9 million, and that is mainly due to the Polaris project. We received $10 million in federal, $3 million in state. We spent most of the state last year, and this year we spent all but $1.3 million of the $10 million. Our next fund, the capital fund, you'll see that our expenditures for the capital fund was $7.5 million, and you'll see that we are not keeping up with depreciation. That top green line, that top line across, is depreciation. Now depreciation is about $8 million. We came close in 2025, but we still aren't able to, we're still not replacing equipment as it's depreciated. And our next fund is our risk fund, which you will see that big increase of almost $10.1 million. And that is solely due to the payments that we made in 2025 for the lawsuit, the settlement. Overall, let's get to our operating fund, which is our general fund. Our fund balance was down by $5.2 million. And that is primarily due to the transfers, the $3 million to the risk fund, the $4.5 million to the capital fund. So, and you still had funds remaining, and that'll be explained when we look at the expenditure side and the revenue side. And the revenues, you'll see we were down slightly from 2024, and that was $543,000. You'll see your intergovernmental was down, and that was, our SEMP wasn't as high in 2025 as it was in 2024. Permits were down a little bit in 2025 from 2024, and other revenues, it was our interest income was not at that level, you know, with less than revenue and interest rates going down, it impacted our interest income. On the expenditure side, we saw a 2.6 increase, and that is primarily due to salaries and benefits. In 25, we were almost fully staffed, and so that is why you're seeing a change. And you can see the biggest shift was in your public safety area with the $2.2 million, followed by, you know, your general government. And so the next one I wanted you to see, revenues and expenditures. You can see that our expenditures in 25 exceeded our revenues. But on the next slide, you'll see what happens when the permanent fund comes in. There is a slight gap between our expenditures and our revenues with the permanent fund transfer. There are required supplemental information within your book. I just wanted to highlight just a couple of these items. The first one is our budget versus actual. You'll see that the difference was 2.7 million. That was the difference between the budget versus actual. And this is not adding in encumbrances. This is straight revenues expenditures compared to our final amended budget. You'll see our revenues, we were down. We talked about that a little bit, and our expenditures were up. And then our other financing sources also was a slight increase. And that was due to the transfer from the general fund to the capital fund associated with ambulance. Ambulance, we have to transfer a certain amount based on a rate. And it was higher than our estimate in the budget. This section is regarding PERS liability, and I just mentioned that to Mr. Cleworth just asked about that number. Under the required supplemental information, you can find a chart with 10 years of data. You'll see this very unique little arc going on with our PERS liability. And at 2025, we were at 14.7, which was a decrease from the prior year. And I wanted to mention that we do have statistical information. I'm not going to cover that. I covered throughout the trends that you see that you saw throughout the slideshow. And if you if the next page kind of highlights some areas that you might be interested that we didn't cover at all, which was assessed values by type. You can find that on the statistical section on page 12, our top taxpayers on page 15. We were as far as full-time employees in 23, on page 23, operating indicators for the last 10 years, as well as capital asset statistics on page 26. And that concludes my report for the 2025 audit. And that's just our highlights and a little bit of trends.
Councilmember Therrien.
Ooh. Margarita, can you turn to page 59? The supplemental information about the net pension liability. I thought we were supposed to be at 22% or 20%. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm trying to remember the percentage.
If you turn to page 60,
okay,
that will show you the contributions. On page 60.
Oh, okay.
Okay, page 59 is showing you what our liability will be, as well as what it is, showing both our portion as well as the state, and what the total liability. On page 60, it will show you our contributions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it seems like there's a difference, but.
Yeah.
But we're not paying more than 22%. It's like it says 0.29565%, but we're only paying 22%.
We're paying two. That is our portion of the liability.
Oh.
So that's how much of that large liability that we owe in pension. That's our portion of it.
I'm still confused.
What the state does is they determine what percentage we owe of the liability. Mm-hmm. So there's a liability that's it's larger. Let me see if we have it in here. I think we have the total liability. If the liability is $3 billion, then we owe 0.2956. Of that liability, if it's $3 billion, for example.
Okay.
And that's how they determine what our proportion is of the net pension liability.
So if we wanted to get out of having to pay that 22%, we'd have to pay over $14 million.
That It's really hard to say if it's just a $14 million. It may be more than that.
Okay. So we can't let it go higher than 22%.
22% would be our contribution.
Right, yes. Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Cleaver.
Yeah, following up on that, Margarita, so looking at that same chart on page 59, in 2017, the number was 14.5. Here we are in 2025 at 14.6. You would think with all that period of time, with some retirees falling off the old DB program, that would be decreasing faster. Any thoughts on why that's not decreasing?
No thoughts as far as it could be investments makes the difference, because they're basing it, if you turn to page, you'll turn to page 42. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. Oh, that's not the page I want. Oh, if you turn to page 48, this is what I'm seeking. And in the section, it says discount rate sensitivity. So when they project a proportionate share of the net pension liability, they're basing it on a discount rate of 7.25%. So if that rate comes in higher, let's say it comes in at 8.25%, then our liability goes down to 10.1%. If that discount rate decreases to 6.25, then our liability goes up to $20 million. So depending on the rate and what that fund is earning could also impact our liability.
So my memory of PERS was it was based at 8.25. For many years, and then that's when they realized they were having troubles. They couldn't make that 8.25 consistently. Is there a way we can find out what they're actually making off that thing? Do you get statements from the state?
I do not.
Okay. Do they ever provide you statements?
I do not receive a statement. I receive a statement regarding our fund, what the impacts are to our entity, but not for the fund overall. But I shouldn't state that. That's incorrect, because we do receive their audited statements on the fund in general, because most of the information that you see in this book is coming from their audited statements. So I stand corrected on that. So we do receive the audited statements.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other council member have
anything?
Questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, Ms. Griffith.
Well, thank you for your presentation, and thanks for the information. Keep these audit books, and we'll adjourn the special meeting, and we will convene at 6:30.